Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode of Tech Stuff is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is all about making domain registration and service simple rather than selling a ton of services. They focus on making it easy to register and manage domains and emails. Hover has two new domain services, premium domains and clunker trade-ins. If you have any clunker domains registered with Hover, now you can trade them in. If you have domains you've registered or renewed at Hover and you would like to upgrade your domain, Hover will take your old domains back. Hover will credit you everything you've spent on your old clunker with Hover, the original registration fee, and any renewal fees. Visit Hover today at hover.com/techstuff. If you need a standard domain, use offer code TECHSTUFF and get 10% off. If you want to trade in a clunker, just call the customer service number on their website or email. That's hover.com/techstuff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
He was an old man who fished alone in a skiff in the Gulf Stream, and he had gone 84 days now without taking a fish.
Okay, then.
Obviously, the first line to 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I thought that was the intro to Game of Thrones.
Yes. Fish is coming. All right, so we're actually...
A stark picture.
Still sharp. Our episode today comes courtesy of a listener, and this one is a message from Twitter. So let's hear that tweeting sound effect. I think I actually heard our producer say doot, doot, do out there.
Tweet, tweet,
tweet. Oh, was it tweet, tweet, tweet?
Yes.
Lovely. I hope that's what we use. Anyway, I won't know till I get to listen to this later, but this comes to us from Wayne P72, who says, would love to hear a show on old tech that won't go away, i.e. the fax. Well, we are going to do an episode about that, but not one on just the fax.
I wanted to do the theme, and I thought
to Dragnet. Yeah, yeah, we might get sued. Yeah, I was wondering. I was looking, and I'm like, is he gonna do it?
No.
Is he? He's not our guy Friday. So anyway, we are going to talk about technology that a lot of people feel, or at least some people feel, or at least we at TechStuff feel, has run its course and yet is still around.
Yes, and the fax is one of those.
So we actually had a couple that we thought about that we ended up deciding not to include in this list. But we should go ahead and mention them, because a couple of years ago, they may have made the list.
Yep, that's true. And it's funny, because right before we were going to record, we were talking about how we had done an episode on abandonware, which is stuff that people just give up on.
Yeah, yeah. Usually it's a company that gives up on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the stuff that people no longer even bother using, and it's just sort of part of history.
Yeah.
This is the opposite.
This is
the stuff people will not let go of. And the two that we were thinking of that we did not include, because we just feel that they've both kind of faded away enough so that it's a very small percentage of people that still hold on to these, are pagers, which, you know, sometimes some people...
there are a few people who still use them.
Especially folks in, like, the medical field or whatever will still use them. But pagers have pretty much been replaced by cell phones and smartphones.
Yeah.
And PDAs.
Also replaced primarily by smartphones.
Yeah, personal digital assistants, public displays of affection. Those will never go out of style. Smoochy, smoochy. So those are the two that we almost included but didn't, because we feel that there's just not enough of a population supporting them to merit being on this list.
Yep. Well, so since Wayne brought this up, we probably should go ahead and start with fax machines.
Yes.
And, the fax machine... still used in many, many offices. You still see people's fax numbers. You know, there's one out there in the office.
Yeah, I've actually used it quite a few times.
Yep. But the thing is, I mean, while it uses, you know, of course it uses a similar imaging technology to a scanner
or a copier
machine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really wrong with it. It, it has a modem. That's part of the problem, I think. It has a modem in it. And, when you scan some stuff, and it saves it in memory. These days it does, anyway. You don't have to put it in one page at a time, although you used to.
Yes.
Or you put it on there, and it dials a number and makes a connection with the fax machine on the other side, just like you would with a dial-up internet connection. There's a handshake between the two devices. They agree on the protocol, and it says, okay, go ahead, send your whatever message this is going to be. And, the fax either takes the information from memory, or it scans each page individually and sends it along down the line really slowly.
And the receiving machine receives that information, decodes it, changes it into the type of information it needs in order to print, prints to some paper, and then you have the fax on the other end.
Yep, which somebody puts in a tray, and it never gets to the person it's supposed to.
Did you ever have to use a fax machine that had a roll of paper as opposed to individual sheets?
Yeah, they had the thermal printers.
Yes.
And, of course, that just curls up.
Yes.
Also, it's coated with phthalates.
Yes. Anyway. I do not miss those days.
No.
So, today...
what will we do instead?
Right. What we could do is, let's say we have a scanner and we just scan a document in and send it via, change it over to, say, a PDF format, which is readily available. It's easy to find a reader for PDF. A free reader. And a lot of word processing programs and things are capable of reading a PDF file. And you just send that via email, and you don't have to worry about wasting paper or any of that mess. Or if, say, a fax machine is busy with a call, then you won't get a rejection and have to try it again. That's another thing that can be kind of irritating with sending a fax. Let's say you've got like a 20-page fax and you start going through, and you don't know until it's gone through all 20 pages, stored it in memory, and tried to send it, that it didn't go through successfully. Maybe you didn't put in the number correctly. Maybe the machine on the other end is not turned on properly, or it's busy. And then you have to try and do it again.
Yes.
It's so irritating. But then, scanning it and sending it via PDF, paper friendly anyway. You don't have to worry about wasting so much paper.
Yes.
And also, it's not so time consuming. That being said, I still fax things, because often some of the conferences I go to request that I send credentials, and I have to send them via fax. Not all of them accept email. Plus, depending upon your access to a scanner or a copier that can have scanning functionality, you may not have that luxury. Mm-hmm. So I think fax machine is kind of borderline on this, because there is technology out there that can do stuff that would replace the fax machine. I don't know that it's propagated widely enough yet for it to really happen. I mean, especially for small businesses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For large businesses, almost all of them have some sort of scanner or copier that can replace a fax machine.
Sure. I think we're on the verge, really, of this being a technology that's like that. But it's far enough along the way that you could make the argument. I think it's a valid argument to include it on this list. But there's some other stuff, I think, that merits that.
Oh, hit me with one.
Well,
let's talk about them.
This one is also on the verge.
Okay.
Landlines.
Yeah, landlines, again, more and more people are abandoning a landline in favor of just having a cell phone, because, mm-hmm. you know, for one thing, a lot of people don't want to have to deal with two different phone bills,
mm-hmm.
Or have like something packaged up where they have fewer choices. You know, there are a lot of services out there that will package a cell phone and landline offering, right?
Yeah, where you can get both. Like a bundle.
Yeah, you can get it bundled, but then you are limited to whatever options they have. You can't just go out and say, oh, I happen to really love this one particular phone. I want that to go with this plan. That's not the way that works.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think you see that primarily from companies that offer both landlines and, you know, you don't see a lot of cell phone providers going, hey, you know what? We're going to get into the landline business.
Yeah. It's not, well, it's kind of hard to edge into that. But yeah, landlines are starting to kind of disappear. Now, there are some legitimate reasons why keeping a landline around is not a bad idea.
What, like emergency calls?
Emergency calls is a big one, because your call can be traced to your location very easily over a landline, so that let's say there's an emergency where you can't even vocalize, maybe.
Yeah.
Which can happen. You know, sometimes dialing an emergency number, that's all you might be able to do. Well, with a landline, they're going to be able to find you. With a cell phone or smartphone, they may not be able to get your location as accurately as they could with over a landline, or even a VoIP line. You'll find out that a lot of VoIP services have issues with calling emergency services. That being said, that you can usually get a landline phone and plug it into any outlet, and it'll still allow you to make emergency calls even if you don't have a landline account.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still make a call to, well, in the United States, a call to 911, for example.
Yeah.
In the UK, that number is a really, really long one, according to the IT crowd, and you have to sing it to a song. But
okay.
Anyway, it's an episode that anyone who's watched the IT crowd will get that. Anyone who hasn't, you should go watch the IT crowd, because it's awesome. Or the IT crowd, if you prefer. Anyway, the other reason, besides for emergencies, is that it's something that if there's a power outage on cell service, mm-hmm. you have an alternate means of communication.
Right.
So not just personal emergencies, but regional emergencies. It's mm-hmm. a good thing to have. That being said, I think it is more common to run into people who have just adopted the cell phone only approach.
Yeah.
I mean, my household is that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you can take it with you, and, you know, you have your phone no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So when you're at home, you have your phone.
Well, that and the phone itself is really, for a lot of people, myself included, it's transitioning into a device that I use to access the internet more than I use for voice communication.
Yeah.
Because almost all my communication now, or a lot of my communication now, is through text messages, email, and social networking services. It's you know, I usually make two or three calls a day, but they're very short, and they're usually between me and my wife.
Yeah.
Mostly me apologizing for something stupid I've done. I'm sorry, baby. That's how every single conversation starts.
It's amazing. I've actually heard one side of that conversation before.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah. Well, it's not a rare thing.
So do you have a list set
I
up?
Do.
You have
I do.
Some that you
How
like
about to... this?
Okay.
Calculators and adding machines.
Interesting.
Because there's
computers do it.
Computers do it. Smartphones do it. I mean, you've got
even the birds and bees do it.
You've got a lot of calculators built into other devices. So to see a standalone calculator is kind of interesting in the sense, you know, we have the technology. at our fingertips almost all the time. So why do we need standalone calculators apart from scientific calculators?
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
or graphing calculators.
And a lot of computers and smartphones can do that. You just have to get the apps for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand someone wanting one of those as opposed to a phone. And there are certain applications where I can be a little more lenient. For example, let's say that you are in a university class and you have a final and you're allowed to have a calculator next to your work on your final. You might not be allowed to have a smartphone because you might use the smartphone to cheat, right?
Yep.
So in that case, that's a specific case where I'm like, all right, I understand that. But for a lot of the things that we use calculators for, either a calculator program on a computer or a smartphone or a spreadsheet can do all of that work, sometimes in a way that's much easier because you can do things like in a spreadsheet. You can copy and paste formulas so that you don't have to keep entering in the same thing over and over for different calculations. You just cut and paste, or copy and paste rather, not cut and paste.
Right.
So to me, though, that's another old technology that I'm surprised is still around, at least in the – At the level that it's still around.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Got another one?
Well, to stick with our earlier topic, the phone book.
Ah, yes, the yellow pages. Why? Why does that exist? Why are we killing trees?
Well, because not everyone has access to the the internet to look something up. Although you could argue that they would also have access to it, by calling. And, checking in with directory assistance. I think, though, that, I think that's a safe argument for printing the phone book. Now, the question is, do they need to, here in the United States, I don't know how they do it everywhere else in the world. Here in the United States, at least where we are, they deliver a phone book to everybody's house.
Yes, there should be an opt-out.
Yes, it would be nice to have people opt in, say, yes, I do want the phone book.
Yes.
Or really an opt-out would probably be better.
Yeah, yeah. But that way you
to
could...
To start with.
Yeah, that way you could say, I've got the internet. I can look up stuff on there. I've got all the numbers I need of the friends I have.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends aren't listed in the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be listed there. So the businesses almost all have some sort of web presence. And even if they don't, there are a lot of online directories that take the place of Yellow Pages. So... Yeah, that's one of those things where I think I would love to not receive that. Now, it does raise the question that if we were to enact that, we being Kristen, myself, because we have that kind of power.
Right.
So Tech Stuff enacts this thing where we're able to opt out of the Yellow Pages delivery. If enough people opted out, then would that change the economy of scale of producing the Yellow Pages so that producing a fewer amount for the people who stay in is actually more expensive per book, and therefore it becomes a problem to fund the printing of the Yellow Pages.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, part of the
we make it up in volume is what I'm saying.
Yeah, part of the problem there is that the Yellow Pages makes its money from advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Those big ads that you see on different places for when you go look up the plumber. Or somebody else, the moving company, and you see the full page ads, they paid, to reach a certain number of people. Oh, well, we're going to print 2 million copies of this. Okay, maybe that's kind of large. We're going to print 500,000 copies of this. And so your ad is going to be there in everyone's home that we deliver this to. If they said, okay, well, we're only going to print 10,000 of these books for people who really need them, then they can't command that kind of price.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't think we're going to be able to talk them out of dropping them off on our door, because I promptly put them in the recycle bin. But
yeah, yeah. So here's a similar thing to that.
Okay.
In the sense that, I know the reason why they're still around.
Right.
But it's kind of, again, a dying thing. CDs that you need to install programs.
Ah, yes. And they're really similar when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
In both cases, not everyone has the technology they need to get the information
in an alternate way. Yeah. But yeah, for a lot of people, they're buying computers now that may not even have an optical drive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no use for that CD.
It's
just, it's...
Or DVD.
Yeah, it's just taking up space because there's no way to put that in your machine. What you would need is some sort of USB drive, or you'd have to connect to the internet and download whatever drivers you might need for something, as opposed to having a CD for it. And I would love to see thumb drives take the place of those just for saving space, plus the fact that if you can wipe whatever's on that thumb drive off if you don't need it, then you've got some extra storage space. I'm not saying that I do that frequently. I'm just saying I've got a lot of thumb drives.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a lot of logos on them.
Well, that we're getting toward the end of my list to the point where...
I've got so many more.
Well, I've got more on here. But those are the things that we've talked about so far are things that we sort of think about that, you go, man, why do people have that? Then you realize that... Well, really, there are quite a number of people that still depend on those. Do you have some more of those?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because I have
CDs
some...
and DVDs in general.
Yeah,
I think fall into that category, and even Blu-rays to some extent. I think these are not as far along as say the Yellow Pages, but and a lot of companies are very concerned about the fact that these are technologies that are slowly becoming obsolete, and digital distribution is becoming the buzz phrase for entertainment, and that causes concern for multiple industries.
Netflix,
right? Netflix thinks it's awesome.
Well, no, the thing is, though, they tripped on it because on this very thing, because they were ready to move
to
on
pure digital distribution.
And people aren't ready to do
it. People are not ready yet. Yeah, you. There is a balance you have to strike between pushing people toward a new technology and riding out the wave so that you don't alienate your customer base, right? But the people, I think, or the organizations that I think are really concerned with this, you have the MPAA, the RIAA.
Yep.
So that's the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Industry Association of America. So you've got these two different major organizations that have lots and lots of really big companies in them. And they're very much concerned about this because they make a lot of money selling physical media, actual physical products that have content on them, whether they're movies, television shows, music, whatever.
Books.
So moving from that to a digital one scares a lot of companies, for legitimate reasons.
For legitimate reasons.
We're not saying that they shouldn't be scared. And then you've got retail organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already seen in the United States several retail organizations over the last few years go belly up because they cannot compete with the digital distribution method.
Yep. It's hard to find a record store anymore.
Right. You walk into a Best Buy and suddenly all the music and movies aren't front and center like they used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be that as soon as you walked into the store, all of that was front loaded right there at the very beginning of the store. So you had to walk through it. Well, as digital distribution gets more and more popular, that section moves further and further back in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. It's because you can't have that be the focus of your store when that whole business model is starting to deteriorate.
Right.
So I put that along the same lines as the installation CDs. And the Yellow Pages is just, it's not quite as far along. I mean, again, if you don't have a broadband connection, then physical media is the way to go. Because you cannot physically get the information you need to be able to watch the content or listen to the content you want at a good enough quality.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be buffering every 30 seconds. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Until recently, that was me.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there are other technologies that I think kind of died out and then came back.
Well, there's one that needs to go, especially here in the United States.
Hit me.
Incandescent light bulbs.
Ah, it's a good one. I didn't have that on my list.
Yep. The good old light bulb that has its roots in Edison's and other people's work.
Yep.
A lot of people say that Edison didn't actually invent the light bulb.
Right. He improved upon a design.
Yeah, well... He was instrumental, though, in getting it into our homes.
Yeah, without him, whenever we had a bright idea, we'd have no way of putting some sort of indicator around our heads to let people know we had a bright idea.
Yeah, you didn't hear that little ping noise, just sort of a,
Yeah, and no little light bulb over your head. It'd be like something like, a tweet.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
They use a lot more electricity. They give off a lot more heat.
Yes.
With, you know, wasted energy. And other products have come along that are superior toward it.
Yeah.
To it.
Like fluorescents and LEDs.
Yeah, of course, fluorescents. Now, they have their own problems, of course.
Yes.
There is mercury in them. You don't want to just go around smashing fluorescents on the stuff. And
LED lights tend to be more expensive.
Yes.
So,
oh, LEDs are very expensive,
yeah.
But they last a whole lot longer and use a lot less electricity.
Right.
So, you know, we're still in that transition phase, but we don't have to use incandescents, and some societies have already outlawed them.
Yes,
the United States is moving away from them, and of course, it's a big country. There are lots of people. Unfortunately, they're dirt cheap.
Yes, yes, that's the, you know, when you get the economics involved, people might say, I understand why you want us to move away from these, but these are affordable to us. Even if you present the argument of, well, a fluorescent light bulb is going to last longer, therefore you're going to have to buy fewer of them, and then the economy ends up paying out in the long run. Some people are living in a short-term kind of lifestyle.
Absolutely.
I mean, through no fault of their own, they cannot look that far ahead because that's not the way the economy works out for them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there too. I've been in that situation where it's paycheck to paycheck, and you think, well, I would love to be more environmentally friendly, and I would love to have something that's going to last longer, but I honestly cannot put that in my budget.
Right.
It's tough.
It's not going to be much longer, though.
Nope. Before there's no choice in the matter.
Right. So.
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, there's the technology I was talking about that essentially died out and has then never really died out, but it definitely faded away and then has come back. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Do you mean the operating system that just won't die?
No, I'm not, but we can talk about that.
Okay.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
So you're talking about XP?
Windows XP.
Windows XP. All right. So Windows XP was one of those things that got widespread adoption, particularly in the business world.
Well, it was such an improvement on its predecessor.
Yeah.
You know, Windows 2000.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it's a
functional system.
Let's face it, you know, taking everything aside, if you put all the operating systems together on a table, XP is a great operating system.
Yeah.
It's in general, it's pretty stable. It's a workhorse. So many companies have standardized on XP that they're comfortable with it. And that, I think, is the reason it's stuck around, is really the corporate world. I used to work for a company that would stay one generation of Windows back from what the cutting edge was, because everything was stable. They got it where it was working. They had thousands of people to support. And they wanted to make sure all the service packs were out before they would update to the next operating system.
Yeah, if you have thousands of employees for your company, then yep. you want something that's going to be stable, because if you start having failures, you're going to spend more time responding to problems than you can doing business. And that's just not a very smart way of doing things. So staying with a tried and true system makes sense. This is somewhat complicated by the fact that even though we're at Windows 7, so we're two generations beyond Windows XP now, Windows Vista has a stigma on it about being an undependable, overinflated, difficult-to-use operating system. Now, some of the problems that Vista had early on were addressed by Microsoft.
Yes.
You know, so it's a different system than it was when it debuted.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, that first impression was so negative that a lot of companies that's where they drew the line. They said, we are not going to Windows Vista because it's just there are too many problems. Beyond that, though, a related term to this outdated technology idea is the legacy system.
Right.
So a legacy system is any kind of system. It doesn't have to be technology. But in technology, what we're talking about is some sort of system that is a core component of the way a business does business.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep that core component going, and replacing it would mean having to reinvent an enormous amount of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've got some sort of computer program that is instrumental to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs perfectly on Windows XP. That's the foundation that it was built for.
Right.
So then when the new operating systems come out, they may not support that legacy system. So you are forced to stay with an older operating system, or else you can't do business.
Right.
So that's one reason why a lot of the companies are still on Windows XP. They have some sort of program, software application that runs on XP and will not run on anything else.
Right.
And in order for them to be able to run on something else, they'd have to pour so many resources into building a new tool that does the same thing that their old tool, which is still working perfectly fine for what they need. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, that much time, money, and effort. You could say, well, we could put that toward this and then update all our systems and then hope everything works. Or we could stick with what we have and just concentrate on doing business.
Yep. And, you know, if you have Windows 7 at home and XP at work, you may be frustrated by this, but that you're not really the person that is the most frustrated.
Yes.
The people who are most frustrated by this are the ones working in Redmond, Washington.
Yes.
At Microsoft, who have been trying to convince both, the casual user and the corporate user to switch over to Windows 7.
Yes.
And the thing is, Windows XP just works.
Yeah. Now Microsoft has stopped supporting it.
Yep. And they've basically said, look, we're not going to do anything for you. They don't distribute it anymore, really.
It's an 11-year-old operating system.
That said, in researching this yesterday, Jonathan and I ran across some very interesting news.
Oh, good grief.
There was an article in ZDNet Australia that quoted statistics from Net Applications. In December 2011, and Windows XP is the dominant operating system out there. It had 46.5% of market share.
Yes.
And in January 2012, it had 47.19% market share. Windows XP is growing, is continuing to increase in adoption rate.
Excuse me for a second while I bang my head against the microphone.
No.
Carry on.
So anyhow, Vista is in third place among the Windows operating systems, and Windows 7 is increasing as well. But imagining that an operating system that has been discontinued is technically no longer supported, you know, and is increasing in market share, that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, no, that's not the worst of it, though. That's the XP story is kind of mind-blowing, but that's not the most mind-blowing story you sent me.
No. And this is the thing is these two are tied together, and those of you in the know are going to go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But no, the reason I mentioned XP first is because Windows XP works.
Yes.
It does what it's supposed to. It's stable. It's pretty secure. But
In contrast,
there's another technology that Microsoft would really, 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 really like to see end of life.
Yes.
By everyone.
And yet.
And for very good reasons. And yet it also increased in market share.
Please go ahead and reveal what it was.
Internet Explorer 6. Internet Explorer 6 also increased in adoption rate.
So Internet Explorer 6, now that... Words fail me, really.
Microsoft has tried its best
to kill Internet Explorer 6. It's not a safe system to use.
It's not. And websites will warn you when you go on IE6.
And there are websites that you can't see if you have Internet Explorer 6. You try and go to that website and you won't be able to view it.
Please, if you are using IE6, update.
Please, try anything. Try the newest version of Internet Explorer. We're not even telling you to switch brands. You can update to the latest version of Internet Explorer, and it is going to be a world of difference. The only reason I could see anyone using IE6 is that they have a machine too old to run anything better.
Yeah. Well, there are some... The reasons to use legacy systems in a lot of cases have to do with a specific tool.
Yes. If you are, so let's say that you've got a corporation.
Yes.
And that corporation has an internal network, an intranet.
Yes.
Not an internet. And that in order to access this intranet, you need to use a specific kind of browser because it was built to support a specific type of browser.
Right.
Then I could understand as well having Internet Explorer 6. I would pity that person because that is a miserable experience, but that could be the case. You could have a corporate system where, let's say you need to go in and manage things like a digital timesheet, or you have to request some vacation time or sick time, or you're doing something like you might even be putting in things like an employee record into a company's intranet system, and the only way you can access it is through an outdated browser. There are plenty of systems that are like that. I've seen lots of them where they will tell you, don't use any other version of any other browser because some of the functionality will not work if you use it. You might be able to see some stuff and access some of the stuff that's on the corporate intranet, but you're not going to be able to get the full run of it unless you use this particular browser.
Yeah. See, an article on Ars Technica published on February 1st, 2012, said that in January, Internet Explorer grew more, its market share grew more than any other browser. In fact, Chrome went down a little bit, but the biggest share of that growth for IE was in IE6. So, Yeah, people are going to write in to tell you that that was really loud.
Yeah. Well,
And I understand. See, the thing is that the one of the things that's common about most of these technologies is that there's some good reason why some people are going to want to use it. You know, perhaps you have a machine that just won't go any, it won't run Vista or Windows 7 or Windows 8. You have a machine that where, or you have an intranet where you might need to use IE6 to run it. Otherwise, it won't work.
You have a parent who thinks AOL is the internet.
Yes, that's possible. I mean, for the light bulb thing, the socket fits the same size. I really don't have a.
Yeah.
They're cheap. There is a reason to use that. The thing is that the majority of people still using IE6 and Windows XP, the majority of those people probably are not doing it because their computers are slower, because they are reliant on a legacy system. It's probably more because their corporation won't let them update,
right.
Or they just don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who just they just don't know that there is a better way out there.
Mm-hmm.
To them, they've associated a specific kind of browser with that's the internet.
Yep.
It's not that that's the browser you use to access the internet. So no, that is to them, that is the internet. It's or a little box with a little blinking light on the top. It doesn't weigh anything. It's kept up top of Big Ben.
Yeah, this is definitely the type of water cooler thing where you stand around and go, yeah, why do people still use that? I mean, there's a reason why people still use some of these things, but why some of them are so widespread is another question.
I still have a few more.
Oh, you do?
Yes. There's the one that I said had died out but came back.
Oh.
This really...
I thought you meant IE6.
No. This is one that...
But yeah, I guess it didn't die out?
This is a different one. And this is one that didn't really die out either.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of those where it's more for nostalgia's sake, I think, than anything else.
The Dreamcast?
Vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
So... Vinyl records is what we're talking about, not the material vinyl, but yes. vinyl record albums.
Yeah.
So, something you would play on a record player. There are people who argue, audiophiles, who argue that the vinyl gives the best, truest sound to whatever the original recording is. And there are others who say that that's a bunch of baloney, that if you are using the proper digital equipment, there is no humanly detectable way of differentiating the two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go into that too much because... It's frankly something that I would need to see a lot more studies on, because there are lots of different arguments to either side, and there are certain people out there who have very, very finely attuned senses of hearing that might be able to detect those differences. I'm not one of them. I do not have a great sense of hearing, so perhaps the fault is on me and not on the technology. But still, it's interesting to me that vinyl has never really gone away, considering that a lot of the trend has been to favor convenience over perceived quality,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when MP3s got really popular, a lot of them were recorded at terrible bit rates, and you were losing a lot of information. And
right.
in some cases, that was detectable. You could tell that you were losing some of the highs and lows. There wasn't a whole lot of variation between the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs, so you weren't getting a really dynamic sound like you could with a better recording.
Mm-hmm.
But today, that's not as big an issue.
Right. Well, with people having higher bandwidth connections,
mm-hmm.
They're more willing to do that because you're able to include some of the frequencies that make the sound richer.
Yeah.
But
that's one of those where I'm just surprised. Now, that being said, I own a lot of vinyl, folks. I'm a vinyl fan.
And there's been a resurgence in manufacturing mm-hmm. vinyl.
Yeah.
Which is funny because the equipment almost completely died out.
Yeah. There was a time in the late 80s and into the 90s where finding a turntable was, if you weren't buying DJ equipment, it was pretty much, you had to go to like some sort of hobby store or
like an audiophile.
Yeah. And now you can find them all over the place. In fact, I see them, like, I've seen plenty of ones that you plug in via USB to a computer where you can rip things to MP3, or you can actually just listen to it over a computer or plug it into another sound system.
Mm-hmm.
It's been enjoying a resurgence. Nowhere near what it was when that was the way to listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give the wrong impression, but it has come back from what looked like it was going to go extinct.
Yeah, and a lot of independent bands have been recording and releasing their records on vinyl.
Yeah, pressing to vinyl.
Because, truth be told, it's not as expensive as you might think.
Yeah.
It's enjoyed a resurgence in popularity for bands as a, you know, hey, look how cool we are. We have a vinyl record.
Yeah, it's kind of a gimmick almost.
But, in a way.
Yeah, for some folks. Yeah, yeah.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. He's a wise man, Marie is a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters. The theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenney, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I also wrote down typewriters because they still have not died away.
I haven't seen a typewriter in public in a long time.
No, but I used to work in an office that still used typewriters to fill out forms. Instead of trying to create digital forms, they still had physical forms and physical typewriters that you had to use to fill out the forms. It was not that long ago, so I have them down here.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they've died out in the 5 years since I joined How Stuff Works. It's possible. That's long enough, but I have a feeling that if I went back to this office, I'd still find that typewriter.
Okay.
And it would be mocking me, as it always did. And then, let's see, do I have anything else? Yes, There is something else I have.
Mm-hmm.
Scheduled television.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, because now we've reached a point where with the invention of DVRs,
mm-hmm.
and with streaming services like Hulu and Netflix, the importance of a TV schedule has decreased dramatically.
Yeah.
Right? Like back in the day, you would have to plan your night around your stories.
Yep.
If you wanted to watch television. So if you wanted to watch, a particular sitcom, you had to be there in front of your TV at 8 p.m. on a Thursday night, or else you weren't going to see it.
Yep.
Or you had to set a VCR to tape it later on. You could do that. But,
yeah, before VCRs became household items, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another one, too.
Yeah.
But VCRs are pretty much on the way
They're pretty much dead. VCRs are almost dead. But the scheduled television stuff, before there were VCRs, the only other option you had was to set your kid down and have the kid just act out the entire episode when you got home so you could find out what happened on MASH. I know seasons 2 through 4, like the back of my hand.
All right.
Anyway, But now we have DVRs and we have streaming services. Even DVRs now are starting to kind of reach a point where I think a lot of people are moving away entirely from worrying about recording stuff that's on the air right now.
Well, for one thing, so many of them come out on DVD later.
Yeah.
Or in some other form as a collection. So you can catch up on an entire series.
All at once if you wanted to. Yeah, so I think that's one of those dying technologies, and that's a tough one because again, that's another one that's industry that will completely change industries.
Yeah,
and anything that's going to completely change an industry, it's going to be a tumultuous and drawn out affair.
Yeah,
it's not something that happens very quickly, usually, unless it's catastrophic, but. Normally, it's going to take a while. There's going to be a lot of resistance. We're seeing that. There's a lot of resistance to it for good reason, again, because the economies that are involved are huge.
Yeah.
And the considerations you have to make are enormous. And, the fact that there's just not as much – there's not as much money streaming to the internet as there would be going through a cable or broadcast approach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's that's the truth. There's not as much money there. And if you've got a big corporation that requires a lot of money to generate the content that it makes, that raises some very tough questions. Like, where do you start making cuts? Do you make huge cuts in the corporate personnel? Do you also have to make huge cuts in the production costs for your shows or your movies? There's been a lot of discussion about that recently with movie blockbusters, about whether or not the blockbuster itself is perhaps an outdated concept.
Mm-hmm.
That perhaps we've really pushed the concept of blockbuster so far that they are having these massive overinflated budgets.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time to stop that and really focus on making movies a different way where it's more efficient and economical. And maybe the focus isn't so much on spectacle. Now that's a totally separate argument, but it does at least tangentially tie into this idea of the scheduled TV event where we don't have to be in front of our sets at a set time and place anymore.
Right.
We have a lot more flexibility to get entertainment on demand, with the exception of things like live events, like sports and things like that. So I think that is definitely on the bubble.
Yeah.
In another maybe 5 or 10 years, scheduled TV is going to be kind of a thing of the past, with the exception of live events.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, that's going to require more people to have availability of the technology.
Yeah.
Because not everyone can afford a DVR.
Or
broadband internet access.
But we're starting to see that stuff being built into the television sets themselves.
True.
So, again, in 5 or 10 years, you're going to have the average TV set sold at whatever store you go to is going to have a lot of internet connectivity stuff built into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't solve the problem of broadband penetration. If you don't have broadband penetration, it doesn't matter how advanced your TV is, you're not going to be able to get that content.
Right.
But assuming that the broadband penetration problem has been addressed enough so that there is this transition,
mm-hmm.
then I think we do see an end to the scheduled TV approach. And you just, what you'll do is you turn your television on and you say, I want to watch this one particular program. I want to watch this one particular episode, and it pulls it up. And it may be that it's a subscription-based thing. It may be it's a per-episode payment thing. I'm not saying that it's going to be free all the time, mm-hmm. but it's definitely going to be a different model than what we're used to right now. Okay. It won't, you know, it'll no longer be like, you know, oh, it's Thursday night. This is when my favorite three shows come on. It'll right. be, hey, I got home. It's time to watch my favorite show.
Okay.
So, and I think that's, let me look, and did I miss anything on my list? No, that's all the things I have on my list.
Okay, then.
Not to suggest that that's the only outdated technology we have that we rely on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, if people have their, you know, a favorite outdated technology that they didn't think made our list for good reason, then they should write us and let us know.
I mean, there's plenty of other stuff we could talk about, like coal-powered power plants. That kind of stuff, right? Where we could say, look, there are alternatives that we could look into that may be more environmentally friendly. But even so, these have their own sets of restrictions and problems.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, you could argue that, saying like, hey, look at the state of the world. Isn't like anything that burns fossil fuels, isn't that outdated? And I would agree with you in the sense that I think we really need to move to things that aren't going to be as dangerous to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of the situation is a bit more complex than just saying, hey, this is an old way of doing things.
Right, right.
There are such complex issues with that that it's not an easy thing to solve. If it were easy to solve, we would have solved it already.
Yeah.
But the truth is, life is complicated. It moves pretty fast. If you don't stop, look around, you might miss it. And with that, we're going to conclude this episode of Tech Stuff. If you guys have suggestions for future topics, or you have an outdated technology you just want to bring up to our attention, let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those is TechStuffHSW. Or you can send us an email, and our email address is TechStuff@discovery.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Eugene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Huh? Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.